good day, good welcome, hello, hi. I do hope that you are feeling excellent. Welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn-Wardner. And this episode is brought to you by you. This, if you are following me on Instagram, this episode is the result of one of those sticker questions. Hey, ask me a question. And I think I posed the question a couple of months ago, something like, who would you like me to get on the show? And I had so many responses. And the one that tickled me, that made me laugh, was a few people actually said that you would like a show featuring Caroline Hirons, Nadine Baggett and Trini Woodall all in the same space. Now, in order to do this, we had to get studio space so that we could have four mics and a decent setup. So logistically, it took a little while to put together, but it happened. Dear listener, it happened. Careful what you wish for, careful what you ask for. I don't really know what to say about this episode other than you really do get a sense of what it's like when the four of us are in a room together. I think that really is just what I can say. Structure-wise, I mean, it was tricky. It was tricky to implement any kind of structure. But also, I am the kind of interviewer who just likes things to take their natural course. I'm David Attenborough about it. And I did enjoy some of the interaction that was happening. So I just sort of sat back and engaged, but just didn't push it. And then, look, all I'm saying is it was a little like herding cats at times, but I love these women. They're brilliant women. And you get a sense of what it is like to sit and have dinner with them, which is sort of what happened, or lunch. You'll see. Just crack on. It's a lot. It's a lot. So, you know, get a cup of tea, maybe get comfortable. But it is brilliant because they are brilliant women. They're strong, brilliant, independent, funny, loud women. I am one of them. I am loud too. So this is what you wanted. I really hope that you enjoy it. Trini is obviously fantastic. Caroline is just good. Oh, she's just good. And Nadine is obviously typical Nadine. If you're a regular listener to the show, you will have heard them all on this podcast separately, so you'll know exactly what they bring to the table. But hopefully you also feel that we get to know them a little bit better in this episode, because we delve a little bit deeper at times. All I can say is that it really is a blend of the sublime and the ridiculous. And I hope that you enjoy what awaits you. I'm just going to get into it. So here it is. So on The Emma Gunn Show, the brilliant Nadine Baggett, the excellent Caroline Hirons, and the wonderful Trini Woodall on The Emma Gunn Show. Links to follow them will be in the show notes, as will everything that was mentioned. I really sincerely hope you have as much fun listening to this as I had recording it. Enjoy. Do you want to close the window or not?
No, I'll find it quiet and I'll swear.
The kid has just opened a naked person has just opened the window.
Have they?
Anyway, go for it.
Let's stop recording. Thanks for joining me in this very different environment.
Do we have to sit like this?
I don't think so. I can still hear you if you don't, but probably, yeah, closer to the mic the better. Listeners, we're in a studio today, which is different from the usual setup of me just turning up and
putting it on the floor.
Literally, or on the kitchen table, or on the desk. So, Nadine Baggett's in the room.
Hi.
Caroline Hirons is in the room.
Hello.
We've just had breakfast and a very mini debrief. We're expecting our fourth guest. Who's
currently doing a live
in
the back of a yellow taxi. Guess who that's going to be, people?
But this podcast actually has come out of questions.
Also, it's floss in her teeth. It's brilliant.
Hey,
it's
when you've got Invisalign, you do what you've got to do.
That's how.
Also, she has got beautiful teeth, so there you go.
You do.
I feel a tooth video coming on.
No, thank you. No one needs to see that.
How I got my perfect teeth. This came out of one of those question thingies. You know the question sticker on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
Caroline's miming foam down.
Trini just tried to call me.
Oh, great. So she's downstairs. It's really easy to get into this building. I'm just going to crack on. So the questions, one of the questions that came in from listeners. Oh, here she is. Hello.
Okay.
Clunk.
What?
Hi.
Are we already?
We're on. Trini's just walked in wearing the most spectacular silver coat.
I
think the coat is wearing Trini.
The coat's probably wearing me because I can't. You know that's something when you love fashion so much that you're prepared to not be able to eat to wear it. So I cannot.
It will rustle on Mike. So you might want to take it off, my darling.
I love it. I mean, it's silver.
It is silver, and I tried it on for The Telegraph, did a shoot, and I wore it on the cover, and I loved it. And then the woman said to me, it's £17 million. I said, forget it. And I went to a sample sale, and it was there, and I said, how much is it? And they went, 50 quid. I went, you kidding?
Overpriced. See, he's telling me those kind of stories, and it just gives me the rage.
It gives you the rage. Yeah. The rage of, like, you know. I think what happened is nobody wanted to buy this, so they didn't make it. You can
really?
Understand, because
what designer
could
is
be
it?
A piece of chicken in some tinfoil.
No, really. I like it.
Yeah, but Caroline, you're a woman after my own heart. You'll go for neon, you'll go a bit of sparkle.
You can pull it off. I would just look like all Saints.
Maybe you should take it off, actually, because you look like you've been arrested and you can't quite move your arms around the back. So.
I could already be in the...
in the straight jacket. In the straight jacket.
But I have to say, I came here in my Trini London taxi, which I want you to see.
I know, we saw
and
you
I've got
online.
My whole wardrobe in there. I've got so many silver
gorgeous
things.
Velvet this suit as well.
She's and revealed... Then, she's taken the jacket off to reveal a velvet suit and more sequins.
And
sequins.
A crop top with a belly button.
Well, no, it's not a crop top. It's because the top is so tight, I can't get the arms through it, so it's all ricocheting it up. So if I go down again and try and pull that off...
Where's your velvet suit from? I really like
Zara.
It. Really
see,
nice.
It's the first time Nadine's like something of mine from the high street. She's always looking...
No, it's black. It's because it's black. Also, can I just say, I filmed with Trini yesterday and we had a little conversation about fashion rules because I had distress jeans on, and I think she was intimating that I was too old to wear distress jeans. Then she intimated I was too old to wear a miniskirt, so guess what I've got on today? Because don't tell me
work it,
I can't wear it, because I will wear it. I've got opaque tights on.
But that's not a pussy pelmet that I was referring to. That's a miniskirt.
Oh, you didn't mention the words pissy pelmet.
A pussy pelmet.
A pussy pelmet. Yeah,
I've got a few of those in my wardrobe as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Your daughter's going out. How do you help her to avoid the pussy pelmets?
No, I just say I can see your ovaries. Go put some clothes.
Do you? You go right up the top, don't you?
You know she leaves the house and then instantly rolls them away
days.
In a bag. Go on, then puts it back on what she wants.
Now. Luckily, she appreciates a good jean. She is my child.
Okay.
Distressed jeans, though. I admire your gumption wearing those around, Trini.
Everything
I had no idea that they were...
I am distressed.
The most distressing in the back of that cab was my face. Don't worry. It wasn't my jeans.
Very good light. I looked over it afterwards. It was great light. I said,
it was.
I have that light tomorrow, please, and you can give the bad light to somebody else.
Lighting is everything, which is why you and I are probably quite distressed that the light is behind us. And
yes.
They are lit.
But luckily, this is a podcast.
We've got faces for radio today.
Yes, faces for radio. I was going to bring somebody in, Chloe, in to film it, because I thought it would be quite funny, because I did a podcast yesterday with Joe Elvin and Joe. James, and I keep getting the name. It's called Is It Just Me? But that's their podcast. And so Chloe filmed it, and people are funny about film podcasts because it's like we want the podcast to go out first, but Chloe filmed it, and it was actually the most disgusting podcast ever.
You mean as in
well, just
subject,
you know,
a little bit rude?
Not, there was quite a few rude subject matters. Yeah,
really,
very few rude subject matters. But the thing is, it was weird to film notes.
It was X-rated.
I don't know if they're going to be able to put it out, actually. But it's the thing about when you see a podcast that where people are focusing their attention and their everything about the words they're saying and not the movement or. Anything.
It's fundamentally different from us because we're TV people, aren't we?
Yeah,
exactly.
And so,
whereas I'm perfectly happy sitting behind a desk.
You're pretty happy on camera.
Are you not a YouTuber? Do you not talk to camera beautifully?
Yeah, but I do. But it's like totally on my own terms.
Totally on your own.
Also, if I see you pop up on my feed one more time talking about a specific beauty brand,
can I just?
I've obviously liked this beauty brand,
oh,
and now everywhere.
What's the name of the beauty brand?
No,
again?
Don't do it.
No. The whole thing is, I can't remember.
No,
I remember you and not
the
truth.
This is the irony of this. Is you know, obviously, the whole world is run by robots, and so if you like anything, so I have things in my outbox at Net-a-Porter and Outnet, and everywhere I go on any site, they pop back up again to remind me to
buy. Yes.
Well, now I've liked this beauty brand, so everywhere I go there's a picture of Caroline. I am literally being stalked by Caroline
it's
and this
really
beauty brand.
I hope
it's fine, my darling.
Not enough.
Never enough
to be everywhere. I do get it actually about two or three times a week.
What, mine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
No, it's just, it's interesting and it's so...
No, the reason I liked it is because you're a mate and I want to like your content, but I just don't want to be stalked by it for the next six months.
I don't want to be stalked by it. It does it to me. I really don't need to see that jumper and that bun again.
The jumper and the bun.
I would rather that, though, than something that I might potentially buy. Like, when Caroline comes up...
Oh, cheers, Em.
I'm not going to buy that stuff.
Oh, sorry.
But, ironically, I would. If I didn't get this stuff for free, I would join this company.
But what I get
it.
Is, like, you know, the corrective back thing that Nick Haste has bought, and I'm like, oh, I think I need one of those.
Okay, so
I stopped and watched.
Oh, but can I just tell you, it was Beauty Pie.
Yeah,
I remember now. And actually, I did. So what? We can say. Why the fuck can't we say it? What? Can we not be honest here? It's they're great products. I really like their Japan.
But also, I went back into Facebook when it started age appropriating my ads.
Oh, don't.
And I went back in and took my age off because do I want life insurance?
Yep. Breast augmentation.
No. Mine was incontinence pads. HRT and a funeral planning.
I got, and I was like, no,
I'm sorry.
I'm off.
Fuck off. I'm taking my age out of this. I stop scheduling my ads like I'm going to die or wet myself because I have no plans of doing anything in the near future like that.
It is. What's interesting is every company now in their ad campaigns, all they're doing is they're giving Mark Zuckerberg another private jet. So all these this money is going into Facebook to do these ads. And it's very, very difficult now. Then you want to target somebody. Targeting, so being the brand that will be in front of that, costs you so much more money. So all these companies who have relied 100% on that are now in a position where even going for investment for second or third rounds, businesses that are building up, and if they show sort of over 70% of how they get their customers through Facebook, people are getting less interested in investing because they're thinking it's going to crash and burn but it's going to become so expensive to get in front of that person and advertise to them because
that's what they do. They give it to you cheap and then they charge you for it. Strictly business.
But it's not even a question of cheap. I think it's more that I think our vision 10 years ago, like how I absorbed what I decided to buy in my life was magazines at the hairdresser, magazine subscriptions, TV advertising, small amounts,
TV
friends,
editorial
huge
content,
amount.
Yeah.
You know, so there was this very broad vision and people could try and get to me through any of those things. And now that is more tunnel. I have not picked up a magazine in 2 years.
Really? Yeah, Caroline
I
is
really
the only person I know.
Ironically,
I read
your posts. The only way I read hello, and I
it's
love
the best.
It.
It's so fucking I have
good.
Staff
I've got,
members.
I've got a
current
new bingo now.
I have current and ex staff members of Hello, which is where I worked, obviously for 18 years. Secretly DMing me going, this is everything that every member of staff thinks but is too frightened to say about hello.
I'm just going to do it even more
it's
now.
Just yeah. genius. No, it's never slightly. Stop.
It's
Please
it's
never
great.
Stop.
People it's are like, great. Can you do it with Gratitude okay? And I'm like, no, hello
it's
is
not
its
the
own
same.
It's in its own world.
It's its own.
Yeah.
And I'd revised the bingo. One of my readers did a hello with Hirons bingo. And I just tweaked it and made it bigger on an A4 so I could literally tick off the boxes. And that
one day, can we all do it live?
One of my favourite things, though, is when you're going through the party pages at another party we couldn't afford to, we're not rich enough to be at, or whatever.
A party you're too poor to attend.
Too poor to attend.
Trini's usually there.
I have. When have I last been in Hello Magazine?
But Trini's slumming it with us today.
I have not been out, literally, to a party for about a year.
Too busy building a business via Facebook, Trini.
I go out once a week at lunchtime with my partner and I might go out every 3 weeks one night and that's it.
We must do another day at that Italian restaurant, which, by the way, is some of the best food I've ever eaten.
I know. Lucia's
full of
red. Really good.
Yeah. Really good.
Not that he'll give me a cheaper bill,
Should
but anyway.
Should we let Emma get a while in edgeways here?
Sorry, Emma.
I feel a bit like...
Emma.
No, I just need... I've been wanting a morning off. This is fabulous. So, four strong women around a table, around a podcast mic. Someone's vibrating.
You need to put it on
there. Tell you who that is.
I'd like to permanently vibrate with some transcendental meditation, frankly. Yeah.
Do you do transcendental meditation?
When I was 19 and having a bit of a bad time in life, I thought, will TM fix it? But it lasted 3 weeks.
Did it give you...
I like a bit of vibration, but it has nothing to do with meditation.
For God's sake, that didn't take long, did it?
Yeah. Did you get your own special word?
I did get my own special word. Yes, I did.
I'm thinking very seriously about doing it, mainly because...
Well, it sounds like you've done it already if you know your own special word, Emma.
No, I just read the blurb on the website.
Right. Is this a 26 Habits?
No, maybe. No, that's overseen.
Yeah. Ask Ben about it. Ben.
Your Ben, does he do it?
Well, he's
really?
He's in a big, massive self... Not self-help, what's the word?
Improvement.
Improvement is probably better, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I listened to an interview with Bradley Cooper...
And he said that after he started transcendental meditation, he in a dream he saw the opening scene of A Star Is Born, and that was the starting point for that movie.
Yeah, because he'd seen it in 1976.
Sorry. Also, Bradley Cooper is a knob.
No, I'm not saying Bradley Cooper's a knob.
No, I am. I said that.
Oh, sorry.
I quite like him.
I like Bradley Cooper. I like him in Hangover Kill. I did like Hangover.
Oh, you love a trashy movie.
Yeah, I love a trashy movie. Bridesmaids, my favourite trashy movie of all time.
It's too close to the bone for me, Bridesmaids.
Why did you vomit at a wedding?
It has a couple of brilliant scenes. Okay, here's the thing. Too much information.
Yeah, but
the scene where the mum on the plane is talking to the other one about how she has sons and she cracked a sheet the other day, that was my life for a long time.
Caroline is now putting lip gloss on. She's just taken tablets.
She's had breakfast.
She's flossed her teeth.
I've lost my teeth.
The Invisalign is going to go back in a minute.
No, I don't think I will, because it might make me a bit lispy.
But you're very
They're looking
Invisalign
very good,
free.
Caroline. Yeah.
And I've just taken them out
to have a breakfast.
Looking beautiful. They really are looking good.
How many years are you going to have them?
I'm nearly done, and then I'm going to get them whitened. And my dentist said, "What shade?" And I said, "One shade whiter than John Bon Jovi."
Yeah. Okay. Have you got to have the retainers at the back?
I'm sure I will, because the bottom teeth were the ones that were the problem. I don't mind.
Sorry, Emma. Do you want to get back to what this is about?
Let's start talking about
squirrel.
Where are we at?
It's because Trini's wearing sparkles. Everyone's distracted.
But Trini's always in sparkles. I'm immune to it now.
True.
My whole cab at the moment is full of sparkles. I had 11 sparkle outfits.
Sure. You just stand next to her and the light reflects onto you.
Oh, yeah.
I can actually go
just like a human disco ball.
Look, I can be Caroline's light.
Yes.
Okay. That was a Tatler shoot.
Yes, not my first time, can you tell?
Right, so strong, independent women around the table. On recent podcasts, I've had loads of feedback from people about how they have been very inspired by a lot of the guests on here are women talking about how they've either set up businesses or how they've come back from pain or adversity or what have you. And I thought, this came out of the Instagram Live, I think I started saying that about 25 minutes ago, where somebody said,
Emma, we'll be quiet now.
Well, not kind of the point, but yeah. Where I said, who would you like me to get on the show? And several people said, Nadine, Caroline, Trini, all in the same episode. So this has actually been a little bit in the making. But Trini, you have established and run your own business, pioneering in the beauty industry, your stackable pots, you've got a yellow taxi outside.
Yeah, just I'm deciding not to kind of promote myself as I travel through London. But it is, I think for me, it was that sense, when I started it, I was already 50. Mm. And I'd had probably three careers up to that point. So I dabbled in commodity trading, which I was absolutely terrible at, and tried to be a man, didn't work out. Then I did sort of PR-y things. And then I fell into having a column in the Telegraph and doing telly. So I kind of knew I'd always wanted to have something that was a brand, that I could kind of physically see all the time, that people would have, even when I was asleep, they'd be doing things with that. Mm-hmm. There's something incredibly exciting about that. And then I'd always kind of, stacked my little pots and done my makeup like that. And I think when you're doing something where it's going to take all your energy, you've got to have such an unwavering sense that this is what I want in my life, I need, I use. It's got to come from your core. Mm-hmm. And I think that you need that, and especially if you're not 30 doing it, because you're driving. I now have a team, and there's about 20 people in my office, but about 12 of them are under the age of 26.
They're children.
I even have my nephew in there who's 18, who's like the most irritating company mascot ever.
Oh, is this
Luke? No, this is Luke. Ross would be insulted if you said he was that age, but anyway, Ross is now his boss. But Luke, red-headed mad boy, and
is that Luke who we filmed with yesterday?
Well, Luke we filmed with yesterday. And what's interesting about him, he came in, and apart from trying to chat up every boy, girl, and everything, and ruin our lovely manic office, he's actually incredibly good at quite a few things. And so, I have to hold my tongue when I want to say, Luke, you're not all allowed to do that, because then you'll come out with something, and I'll think, fuck, he's right. Just a little, it could be technical stuff, but so having the energy to drive that team, you need to live and breathe.
You can't half-ass
your brand.
You
can't half-ass it. And,
it's exhausting.
And it's it can be exhausting. So
I don't think there are many people who've worked as hard as you have in the last year.
I think many people do, Nadine, but I think I do it publicly.
Yeah.
You know
maybe,
what I mean?
Maybe.
I think many, many women do, and many women who start a business, you know, it can be incredibly difficult. I've had a couple of businesses that have crashed and burned, so it's just, you know, it's very difficult to do it. And think... And also, the hardest thing, if it's kind of growing really quickly and you have one bad day in sales or something, to not think, oh my God, my business is collapsing, but to realize, actually, look at all these women using the product. Look how many 20,000 customers you've got in a year, and they're all using it. And just then that makes me think, okay, so it's to look at the big picture, to look at the medium, and to kind of be aware of the immediate things you've got to do, but not let them drive your direction.
Well, this is another thing about this particular group of women, because I have Caroline and Nadine specifically on a WhatsApp group, and I feel like that group keeps me sane because I work for myself, I create, I make my own living. And
can
you
I
can
be on that WhatsApp group?
No.
We can have our own
one. But we'll do a separate one, because there's way too much... It's just way too much
history and shit on that.
There's a lot of swearing.
You won't see the history.
And beauty, and beauty insider stuff.
Yeah,
wouldn't you? Wouldn't
actually? Too inappropriate for you, Trini.
Why? Are you slagging some things off?
No, never.
No, never. But, so, getting back to the point quickly before we go into that particular chat history, I feel that I need my women around me, my strong, independent women who've been there. And if I'm having a weird day, Nadine, you'll sometimes say to me, if I told you this time a year ago that you'd have this problem... You would have been like, fine.
That's my most common thing I say to you, isn't it? I always say, you have to look back a year and think, if you could imagine in a year's time, you would be where you are now. You'd be so chuffed with yourself. But it's hard to, you're always looking forward to the next challenge. And I think that's one thing that all four of us have in common, is we very rarely pat ourselves on the back and say, look where we've come. We're just constantly thinking, right, where's the next mountain?
Else? What else?
I just need
What's
to
next?
Scale that next mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's occasionally when I say to you, as I just said to you, you are without a doubt one of the hardest working women I know, your first instinct was not to say, yes, I am. It was to say, I'm sure not everybody does it, but I'm sure they don't, Trini.
Yeah. Well, I think...
But I do know that every brand owner does that.
Yeah.
And every obsessive brand owner I know does that.
Yeah,
as well.
And everyone, woman in different industries. And, you know, in all our ways, we do that. We give it our all. That's why we're sitting together in this room and having a bit in common, because we feel that sense of drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of... It is so important to take that moment, you know, and I just, the
it's
thing I need to learn every day is take that moment. Of
That's
just,
why I think you have to build a nest of strong women around you who help you with
Yeah, because I think you can also become quite isolated when you grow a business, in that you don't see so many of your friends. So, like, I realised between when I was pre-launching it and when I launched it, I gave a lunch for my girlfriends for my birthday, and I realised I hadn't seen... any 16 of them apart from one in that whole year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And I just thought to myself, I've got it, because we don't, you know, people before, or maybe this is just me, but people before would use the phone more, and people don't use the phone so much now, because they feel they might be interrupting, and it's kind of weird to make a phone call. I never thought we'd get to a place where we might think it's weird to make a phone call. And the joy of the unexpected phone call is that somebody would catch you at a moment when maybe you weren't going to call them up saying, I'm feeling shit, and they'd say, you don't sound great, what's going on? And it gave a moment for you to actually be honest and say, I'm not feeling great, and ask for help. And so when it's all by text or email, you have the opportunity to sort of not perhaps reveal as much that you might think, I'm having a really difficult day. And then you don't end up sharing that difficult day with enough women. So that's where I'm at. So that's why I said, can I join your WhatsApp group? Because I lack that. And sometimes if you have women in a very different space and have a different pace of life, it's hard to share it with them.
I'm making another WhatsApp group as we speak.
Okay,
it's fine.
But it is the thing that I do notice that change in how we communicate. And it does affect.
It's quite strange
things.
Because it is true, my best friend lives in Leeds, and if we WhatsApp, and if I call her, she answers the phone and says what's wrong, because that's our level of communication now is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're texting someone, the tone, if you say I'm having a bad day, the tone could be someone's just died, or I just got spilt my coffee in Starbucks.
80% of communication
is
non-verbal.
So if you can't hear the tone of voice. You're kind of, you don't, and then if you are going to send a message, you don't want to seem dramatic. We're all sort of built in to not be drama queens, you know, unless you're 16. And
And so it's strange how, you know, 20, 25 years ago, my entire life was on the phone.
Yeah.
Mm. And now it's looking at the phone.
Mm. Well, you see, I'm one of the few people that still phones.
Well, it's good you phone.
I do phone. And I think I phone because I have long nails and I'm terrible at texting. And in the end, I just get so annoyed with myself. Yeah. And I just go, oh, fuck it, I'm going to ring somebody. And I can almost hear them looking at the phone going, what the hell is Nadine calling about? And I go, I'm sorry.
Weirdly, if you called me, I wouldn't think there's anything wrong. Because we're phone people. Yeah.
Because we're phone people. And then I automatically just say, but the first thing you do when you phone somebody is you apologise for phoning them. You go, I'm terribly sorry to phone, but I'm just useless at texting. Can we just talk? Or, in the case of this one over here, Guns, we FaceTime. And then I always apologise for the way I look.
I love a bit of FaceTime.
I wonder if she does it. She's completely unapologetic.
I think this is something that... It's interesting how we use Instagram to let people know how we're feeling. So, my daughter, who lost her dad 4 years ago yesterday, I said to her at the weekend, do you want to go to the, you know, the crypt and go and see him? She said, I don't know, she's Scorpio, very like that. And she's well and happy, but it's one area she doesn't talk about. So then,
gorgeous post
on her Instagram, she put a picture of herself and her dad saying, I miss you every day with a heart.
Ugh.
And I just thought, So then I thought, I want her to know how much I get about her dad too. And weirdly, the way that she could see that...
You posted it.
I posted it on Instagram, normally I wouldn't post because I'd feel it's quite a private thing. But I posted it and tagged her because I wanted her to know
that
was the kind of way. Yeah. And it's weird how that's the communication. So I'm having communication with my daughter so she knows how I'm feeling about something through an incredibly public platform of Instagram. And then also friends of mine who I hadn't spoke to ages then sent me messages because they saw what day it was, whereas I hadn't shared with anyone what day it was.
See, funny
enough, it's just interesting.
I was at
different generations and how they
and
communicate.
I was at my mother-in-law's funeral yesterday.
And so...
Were you close to her, Caroline?
Really close, don't get me started. So,
okay.
I was the only sort of... Max put a post up and everyone in the family was like, oh, God, Max's post. Because obviously it's set to private. When she actually passed away, because, you know, the funerals, if you're not Jewish or Muslim, it takes 4 years to actually bury someone in England. And I said to my husband, I'm not going to put anything up publicly because it's not my mum. Yeah. You know, I was very respectful of the fact it's his family, although they're very much my family. I mean, I've known her for 30 years.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it was about my husband and my kids. You know, I was sort of third in the tree because it's their grandmother and his mum. But what was weird for me was not sharing that because I do share quite a bit. And if it was my mum, I would have put a picture up and said, you know, my mum's passed away, I'm going offline, da 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 da. But only really as an acknowledgement that the other thing in our case is if you don't put something up, people assume it's much, much worse, like it's one of your children or, you know, something, you know, and God knows it was pretty much as bad as it could get. You know, I'm not in any way trying to take away from it. But I do think when you're talking about Lila, there is a... That is how they communicate. And I have this ongoing laugh, just to lighten the tone, as a mother with parents that I see, new parents, God bless their souls, they know nothing, on social media saying, I limit my child's iPad time. Yeah. I'm like, well, actually, what you're doing is cutting off their social interaction. Yeah. Because that is when you're dead and gone, and even in 20 years when they don't care about you, or 15 years when they don't really want to know you, this is how they communicate. Yeah. And I say to people all the time, when they have babies, have you bought your child's domain name? And they go, what?
I love that.
I own Ava Hirons, Max Hirons. Yeah. I own all their domains. Yeah. Well, I don't. I gave it to them. Because what if 10 years they want to communicate, they want to own their own name?
Yeah.
This is how they communicate. It's technology, you know? So I think...
But then there is also a reason why that entire generation is full of anxiety and FOMO and stress and depression.
But you know...
I think that's the generation above Nadine.
Yeah,
teens are totally on it. The 20-somethings are the ones that are screwed. They're the ones with the FOMO.
But I think it's because they don't understand how empowering sitting one-on-one or in a group of people is. So that's real communication and real bonding and real strengthening.
Can I just say something? I think that's a misnomer, not misnomer, that when we're at Song Nadine. But so Lila's 15 and, you know, she will be watching Modern Family with me, playing with Sims on her laptop and on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a part of me is thinking, please don't divide your brain that much because then every little bit's going to have a little bit less. But that's how her brain is wired. You can see people in Korea, they have a sort of withdrawal unit they used to have for teenagers in Korea for for their brain, moving the pattern of the brain, because it's so much of our short-term memory is being used for certain things, so we can't remember things so well. But that's kind of how it is right now. And with Lila, she has the strength of friendships, even more so than when I was her age, because she's much more confident than I was at her age, at school, that are physical friendships. And, you know, I don't know if it's because she goes to a boarding school, not a day school, but there's a real...
So they spend a lot of time together.
A lot of time together, and I went down for her birthday, and they'd sort of put photocopied pictures of her all along the corridor, and then we all did a cake together. And you know, I just felt the love for her, and she has the depth of friendships that we might have with other women, and they still communicate. You know, she'll do 20 things on Snapchat
in three seconds,
because Snapchat, you know, if you want to keep up on the BFFF and keep that record unbroken, you need to keep your thread.
I have no idea.
And that's just a way of communicating. Yeah. But
and so Ava's the same, and her female friendships are rock solid. They're fine. I think it's once you leave school
and go to work uni
and go to work or live with your boyfriend, that's when females in particular get the FOMO and get I look at Twitter, and more Twitter than Instagram, because Twitter tends to be where people moan about Instagram, which makes me laugh.
Our hearts are still with Twitter, aren't they, Caroline?
I'm not a Twitter. I was never a tweeter,
but I look at Twitter and I see all these people in there, sort of, there's a general age group, but you know, it is a little bit millennial, and I don't want to generalise, but it is a little bit
so millennial. We're talking what, 20s
to early 30s,
to early 30s,
who are kind of stuck. So, you know, they kind of probably thought that, do I embrace it or don't I embrace it? And then they don't embrace it, and they don't do it as well as the people that are younger than them. Like Ava, I remember really in the early days, Ava showing Jonathan's Coney Jolie how to Snapchat and what it was. And he was just like, I don't know what you're doing. And she was like, watch, oh my God, you're so old. Boom, 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 you know. So I just think it's, I think teenagers get a bad rap. And the majority, obviously there's beef, you know, they're teenagers. Who doesn't have a raging hormonal teenage, you know? But they have, their circle of friendship is so strong. You know, I think there's almost like you have a big, really good circle of friendships. You maybe retain one or two that you're still friends with when you're our age. But that messy, murky land in your 20s, I would never go there again if you paid me.
No.
And also, when I grew up, I went to a boarding school, and all, like 50% of my friends lived in other countries. So I'd never see them during holiday, didn't know what they were doing. Lila is every single day communicating with every single one of her friends, wherever they are.
Yeah.
You know, she's never not communicating with them.
I think it's like when people say, I hate Facebook. I love Facebook because I know there are 200 people on there that I would have lost touch with, who I've worked with in retail in London, who all moved back to where they're from. Australia, LA. You know, I've got friends all over the world who... you may not have a birthday dinner and invite them, but you would stay with the kind of people, you know, the kind of relationships where... You don't go on holiday together, but they would be gutted if you died. You know, it's kind of like happy land.
I like that in between description.
I like that very much too.
It's Nadine.
So we've got Trini starting her own business, and for you, Caroline, it's you are constantly having to spin plates. I feel
feels like juggling plates, actually.
because you're constantly giving to brands. You have your channel. You're a brand consultant. You do a lot. And you said something really interesting, Trini, that I want to ask all of us about, which is about trying to be a man. Because running your own business, some of those qualities, and when I had Alison Hong on the show recently, I sort of tentatively said to her, you know, to be a woman in business, do you have to have masculine qualities? And she said, you have to have successful people qualities. But some of those can sometimes be defined as being a bit more masculine. So have you ever been labelled a ball breaker? And at what point did you say, I'm unapologetically direct, I'm unapologetically good at what I do, and I'm going to say it how it is, and that does not make me a ball breaker?
When I became a consultant. When I realised that actually I'd had a couple of years of my decisions were right, but the brand had gone the other way, and what I said would happen had happened, and I thought, I am good at what I do. I do know what I'm talking about. And the only reason you're not paying attention to me, I think, could be because I'm female and could be because I'm your employee. So then people pay me to tell them how they're fucking up.
Or hopefully before they fuck up.
To be fair, it's not a lot of mine. It's much more business strategy, but I will tell them if they are. You know, I know I've saved brands thousands and thousands of pounds. Tens of thousands, where I've spotted something that they were just rolling with because they didn't realise the implications, or, you know, or I've been honest about a product and said, actually, this is a bit shit. And then they've tested it and found out that labs were ripping them off and it wasn't what they thought it was. But the brand is surrounded by employees and yes, people who are saying, oh no, I love it, it's the best thing for reviews. And I was like, no, it's not.
But speaking your mind, that's a muscle that takes a while to develop. I've definitely had it, and you know, we won't name it, but I had an experience this year where I was banging my head against a brick wall and in the end just went, I give up. But I was giving...
And Nadine and I were ready to set fire to the building.
It's local to me, it would have been easy.
What are we talking?
I'll tell you what.
In the taxi afterwards. But basically, that was the first time I'd ever had an experience in work where I came away from it and I thought, actually, I'm really confident in what I was saying. I'm confident in what I was doing.
You were spot on.
I'm not going to apologise. And I tell you what else I'm not going to do. I'm not going to modify my behaviour and try to be liked. Not part of the equation.
You see, I've always been a truth teller, but I just silenced myself for years. And it's one of the reasons that I became self-employed.
So I don't like to upset people.
You're well covered.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what I'm going to say. So I was 20.
The training of you as a journalist.
As a woman as well, as a journalist. Trini and I were chatting about this yesterday because Trini was pushing my buttons deliberately to try and get me to be... go out of my comfort zone. So she was like, is there one product in the world that you think is a complete rip-off? And in my brain, I'm going, I know four or five. Do you want me to say them? And she went, she basically metaphorically pinched me in the ribs and went, say it. And I just said it. And then I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I just go, and then I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, for God, I can't believe I just said that. So I've always been a naysayer and a truth teller, always inside. Mm-hmm. But I've been trained as a woman and I've been trained as a journalist and I've been trained as a respectful kind of member of this grow a backbone where you've got a wishbone, one of Caroline's favourite things. And I was made redundant when I was 29 and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because when I was made redundant, A, it made me stand on my own 2 feet, but also it pushed me out of my comfort zone. Also, it meant I never had to go into an office. So I could always speak my own truth. Mm-hmm. And even when I used to go back into an office, I would go into a big meeting at Hello or Marie Claire or wherever I worked, and within 15 minutes, I've just got this internal dialogue going, no, I don't agree with that, I'm not going to say this, I'm going to get up and leave, because either you will listen to me or I will walk away. And that's why I love being self-employed, because I'm only answerable to myself. And I'm absolutely, Caroline's right, ultimately, because of the way I've been raised by a 1950s housewife mother, I want to be liked above all else. So it's much easier for me just to disengage and do my own thing, where I inhabit my own authentic truth, as a hip-hop generation would say, or whatever, you know, a transcendental meditation would say. And that's why I'm happy doing what I'm doing and being self-employed. Because I don't know how you do it, Caroline, I can't keep my mouth shut long enough.
Me either.
Yeah.
There is definitely an air, though, of...
Bless you.
God, we're such women. There is definitely an... Oh, and again! She's very demanding on the sneezes, is Trini. There'll be a few more. There is definitely an air, though, of when you take emotion out of an email, like a man does, as a woman, it took me years to not double-check and think, does that sound too aggressive? And now I'm like, I come across as aggressive. I'm the least aggressive person there is. And I say that knowing that people think, I've had, one of my family members said to me yesterday, I said, where's your so-and-so? And she said, her boyfriend. And she said, oh, he's scared of you. He doesn't want to come in. Which just made me laugh. I'm like, I'm the nicest member of the family. And she was like, yeah, but you would kill him if he upset me. And I'm like, well, that part's true. You know, so, but I am very, I do a lot of business. If you looked at how I do business, it is like a man, because I'll just say it how it is. But the
and that's seen as aggressive for a woman, but wouldn't be for a man.
It's seen as aggressive, but the underlying current is I do care about the people I'm working with. I could never work with a brand I didn't care about. I couldn't just take money for the sake of it. That would be easy. You know, I might do the odd consulting day for a huge corporation, but I don't mind because they're a huge corporation. But it's definitely an air of, sorry to interrupt, it's definitely an air of, you know, it took me years to go, oh, should I say, how are you? No, because I don't care. I'm answering your email. Like, how are you? Like, we're not friends. We're in business. So we do that a lot. I get so many emails. Can we make sure we touch on the emails that you get that start, hey, hun?
No. Did you have a good weekend? Hope you had a good weekend.
You don't even know who I am. You couldn't tell me the name of my kids. Please don't ask how my weekend went. Mm. And that sounds really bad, but that's how you get through your email. They, you know, boom, 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 boom. Just, it's business. And I think a lot of women confuse business with, I want to do business, but I still want to be liked, and I don't want to upset anyone.
Mm.
And you can't do that on YouTube.
See, I was talking to someone the other day who runs their own business, and I just bullet point it in emails, because if you bullet point it, then it's an action list. Yeah. Whereas if you write those bullet points as like two or three paragraphs, it can come across as too direct.
Good
idea.
Good point.
Which I thought was very interesting. Because then it just, it appears, the format and everything just looks like, right, we're ticking these things off.
But there's definitely a confidence that comes with age. Like we were talking about Jane
Literally
Fonda,
just read my mind.
No is a complete sentence, which I saw that on Oprah originally years ago. Obviously, Oprah's stalker. And no is a complete sentence is perfect. Because when you're a woman, you say, well, actually, that doesn't really work for me. Da, da, da. Whereas the power of just going no.
It's definitely something that comes with age, without a doubt.
I had a bad example of my kind of thing of, I've always been the yin and yang with Susanna, so I was always the male negotiating the financial relationships, and Susanna was always the sweet one, and with our crew, the same, exactly. It was always Mr. Nasty and Miss Nice. Okay, so that was the relationship. Worked well for us. And then when I was fundraising, you know, there's a thing of how you go in that room. And so I said in an interview with The Spectator, I think, and I was just saying about fundraising, and I said, you go in a room, and, you know, so for me, it's a lot of the time I'm with a lot of men that I'm presenting to for investment, and it's about the bullet point, it's getting it across. So it's, women always want to tell the story, and it's like, let's just give them the facts. And also being bullish, just saying, I think it's worth this because of this. And so I said this stuff. So I go into an investor meeting, and the guy, and then I'm doing this, and he goes, are you doing the Spectator article pitch?
And he read it.
I was like, oh, what else did I say in that pitch about pitching to men? I was like, thought, what, Trini, why
should
did you open
yes.
your stupid
You should have said, yes,
mouth?
I am. Thank but you I, for proving me right.
But I think that we get to a stage as well in our life, and it depends what's happened in your life. It depends how many boxes you've managed to tick. But I had many years, I'm going to meet in a minute Erica Davis, but I was looking on her feed just saying she's talking about imposter syndrome, and I hate titles of things, but when I came out of rehab at 29, it wasn't called imposter syndrome, it was just called tap me on the back and find me out. But it was that sense that you had built everything on sand, you know, so you didn't feel the confidence to convey your gravitas in that job, ever. And I did have that for years, because I went not knowing what I wanted my career to be, and I did this and then I did that, and I went back and forth on things. I didn't stay long enough in jobs. So it was only like when I was 31 and I literally started over and then got a lucky break and then did it for, you know, 7 years, and then felt like, you know, you got to a place, Caroline, where you felt, I know what I'm talking about. And then I think because that coincided with me reaching 50 and just thinking, there was this very nice book in my loo in my grandmother's house called When I'm 60 I Can Wear Purple. Okay. But it was like this woman in this purple feather boa, and it was sort of, for me, a lot of women like are fearful of getting to 50, and for me, I had this utter sense of totally not giving a shit.
Yeah.
And it was such a freedom to not give a shit. So, you know, like my slightly younger COO, sort of, if I'm quite tough with somebody in the office, oh, you're tough with them. And I'm like, Mark, I don't give a shit. They had to hear it. You know, I don't have, maybe I'm thick skinned. There are moments I might go home and think, when I've sent 19 emails on a Sunday to a member of my staff, but saying in the top of the subject email, you don't have to open until Monday, but still they're getting 19 emails from me. Is that too much? And I'm thinking, no, because I've got a brain dump and I just need to brain dump. So I then went in the office one day and I said, look, if I send you all emails over the weekend, don't feel you have to open them unless it says open now, because they're for Monday, but I need to do, that's my process, and I need to kind of, I have the idea, I have to send it to you. But there's something refreshing about not caring. And I think that's what helps you to have that sort of,
and that's why a lot of women get to a certain age and then they start, when I say women of a certain age, I mean that as a compliment.
Yes.
That, I'm not insulted when someone calls me a woman of a certain age. I mean, yes, I'm a woman. I'm not a child, I'm not a girl. Hey, I'm not, you know, I can't do the whole babying, which is why the whole...
But what is a good word for it? Because I had a woman this morning when I was on my way here, and she said, I'm a middle-aged woman. And I just said to her, don't use that bloody word, because I have, to me, that has a connotation. Yeah,
they're used in a derogatory way, aren't they?
Yeah, so a woman of a certain age is like, it feels like Oscar Wilde has said it. Yeah. You know, there's an element of a woman of a certain age. But what is that?
I'm
what
a grown
is
woman.
You're grown up. I've grown up.
I'm a grown up. I say I'm a grown up.
You're grown up.
I'm also a woman. I'm just a woman.
Like woman.
I like women. You know, what's wrong with women?
Everyone tries to, I mean, the whole Victoria's Secret show, everyone tries to make us like, I'm so sick of seeing women fucking wrapped up in bikinis as a gift to men.
Yeah, but why is that show? Kills me. Did we just talk about that show for a second?
It's over. They've killed themselves now. It's done.
But I don't think they have.
I just looked at it and I just thought,
sadly, I'm not on their side.
You know,
it's literally like 1980 happened again. Like, where are the plus size women? Where are the older women? Where are the trans models? It's ridiculous.
could lead the way. Their reach, they could lead the way, and they're shooting themselves in the foot because eventually society will catch up with them. Because Ava used to love Victoria's Secret. It was like, oh, fun, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, I need bras. But she didn't even say, can we go to Pink or Victoria's Secret? I need bras.
Yeah.
You know, and she's only 16.
Yeah.
If you've lost them at 16, who's going to grow up with you and shop in your stores?
But I found that when I saw all the razzmatazz around it, and then I saw the interviews afterwards, they were trying to put words in these poor young models' mouth about empowerment. And I feel empowered when I do this. And I just thought,
bollocks. It's just crazy. I just looked at it and I just thought, I think that is this generation's Miss World.
It really
it's
is.
It's like,
it
are you, it seems it so really archaic
is.
To me.
Yeah.
I think in 20 years' time, we're going to look back and it'll be like looking at our generation, looking back at On the Buses and thinking, did we really laugh at that?
Yeah.
That is all so wrong. Yeah. It's crazy. And I just think, but it could. I'm not saying you can't sell underwear. I'm not even saying that there shouldn't be an underwear catwalk. But for God's sake, can you reflect the women that are actually in your shops occasionally? Have you walked around Victoria's Secrets? There's not Adriana Lima is not shopping in Victoria's
There's
Secrets.
There's no Lily Aldridge in, the Manchester Trafford Centre of Victoria's Secret.
No, there really isn't.
No.
So come on, let's just embrace real women of different sizes, different shapes, different colours, different... Come on, for God's sake. The last acceptable-ism is ageism still.
Oh, it's totally acceptable. Yeah. So, I mean, not to me, you can go fuck yourself, but it is acceptable to society.
Yes.
Like me saying on Facebook, I'm being targeted by Co-op Funeral Care and Tenor Lady Care.
Ageism.
I'm sorry. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, Tenor Lady could have come after me because I have mentioned wetting myself about 15 times.
Sorry, I want to understand Tenor Lady is what?
Tenor Lady, nice little incontinence pads that you would know if you had four
and
tenor
called
babies.
Tenor Lady.
T-E-N-A, Tenor Lady.
Totally this episode of the Emma Guns podcast is brought to you by Tenor Lady Care.
You know, if you cough,
why did they come up with that name? Tenor Lady.
Laugh so much you're going to wet yourself.
Darling, you should do more radio.
I don't know where to go from Tenor Ladies. That was really good. Now, I was going to talk about age again because I've always been very passionate about my job. Always. It's always been my defining feature, as it were. And I definitely realised in the last couple of years how all of that, not confidence, but all of that passion I had for my job. And I would always wonder, why is no one listening? It's because I wasn't old enough. So when I hit 40, I was like, bring it. Because with that comes the authority of experience, of having made mistakes and of actually being able to say what you think and someone going, oh, yeah, because you had that thing happen, didn't you? Like 8 years ago when you were doing blah, blah, blah. That I found incredibly empowering. So I find age a really positive thing. You wrote in my birthday card, the best is yet to come. I'm excited for 50. Because I just think, God, if 40 was so game-changing, what's 50 going to be?
And I also think it's really important for women to be really honest about their age. It drives me mad when women say, oh, you can't ask a lady that. Because what I intend to be is the Madonna for my friends. So I had Madonna growing up. She was always 6 years older than me or whatever she is, 4 years older than me. And that was really important. I had somebody who I could look at and go, oh my God, so getting older is a positive thing. And I just think for you, Trini, for you, Caroline, we are that of your generation. I'm the oldest of my friends by at least 10 years. And I'm the first to be honest about how old I am, what work I've had done, when things go wrong, going through the menopause, because I didn't have that growing up. Nobody.
But can I say what's also really good is when you're 80, all your friends will be like 70 and they'll look out for you. I mean, I got to say,
they're going to wipe my backside and change my tenor ladies?
Just say the importance, anyone out there at any age, cultivating younger friends. Oh. I think it's there's a
cultivating
real thing
friends of all ages.
My mum has senile vascular dementia. She's in a home, she's 87. Doesn't remember anyone, but she sort of weirdly remembers people from many, many years ago. But she has three friends that she met in her 50s who were in their 40s. And they there are the ones who visit her the most, do stuff with her. And I just thought, hey, I've got to start that cultivation because a lot of my friends are my age, but not that many younger friends. I need to know. I want to. So if you have any, you can pass on. But, you know, I'm just like, Emma, how old are you?
41
in 6 weeks. Can I please be on that WhatsApp group?
Of course,
I need to
yes,
but before you become her...
Then you can and buy me my tenor pad.
Before you become a friend, you have to sign an agreement. I have a group of friends also, including Paula, who works at the Barclay, and Kate Hudson, who used to be at Golan. And they are really good friends. They've been friends forever. And they've got a little agreement that if either of them go into hospital and they're on a sort of,
life,
they will go in and wax each other's chins. And that's when you know your friend, right?
I have that with my girlfriend.
You have to have that. Yeah.
Save your tash, yeah.
Now, talking of which, I had a very satisfying moment this morning, having spoken to Emma about facial hair. Mm. On Friday, I shaved my moustache off and then I took my Philips Lumiere and zapped it. On full board, obviously, super high strength, 5 times each time. This morning, they started to grow through. I pulled them and they just fell out because I killed that root. Such a satisfying.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Moment, can
but
I
can
just
I just say?
Say
you shave your...
You have to shave before you IPL.
I've shaved my tash since I was 13.
I'm leaning across, listeners, to feel if she's spiky. No spike at all. Mine is.
You shave how often?
Every day.
You just do a little.
Just do my tash.
I only do it in
practice. You never decide to do laser? No, laser. Were they dark hair or pale hair?
I have said to Teresa, tell me, okay, the tash is migrating to the chin, and I know my eyesight's going to go, and I don't want a beard, so I'm going to go and see Teresa and get
Philips
all laser. No, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I mean,
it
I've got six dark menopausal hairs, but I have a proper beard, and I thread every 3 weeks.
Yeah. You're thread. Fluffy like me, aren't you? You're the white fluffy.
Yeah, but I've got, like, here I can feel now. You know that moment.
We're all feeling our chins,
like
listeners.
My partner, my best friend, will go up to me, and sometimes when he's being sweet, he'll go, chinny chin chin. And on days when I know I'm now coming up to Caroline and just doing like a little child under her chin, but I know when I've got a bit of long, and I sort of pull away
but
from
they
him.
But they never notice.
Oh, I need to do mine.
The advantage to dating a man your age is their eyesights go.
What?
The advantage to date... I would never date a younger man. The advantage of dating a man your age or slightly older is their eyesights go.
Because you know the other thing...
I have to say to my boyfriend the whole time, and he goes, just a second, I need to put my glasses on. Yeah. I can't even see you.
But can I
barely know who you are in the room, Nadine.
My friend, my male friend, got totally new lenses, which is different from having your eyes lasered. Mm. Getting totally new lenses is like you have a 24-7
yes.
brilliant eyesight.
So that's what Claudia Winkleman had.
I was really keen on it because I'm so fed that? Up with they replace your lenses. It's like a £20,000 operation.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it means you have 20/20 vision. The thing is, I don't like living my life with my +2 glasses on when I do my makeup. I don't like that.
No.
I don't want to get undressed in front of somebody with 20/20 vision.
I don't know if I want myself to have 20/20 vision. I quite like the blurness
I would love my vision back. It's the only thing I miss. I've got no bladder control.
Okay, so what glasses do you wear?
Oh, I don't know.
But you wear only for reading?
No, I'm only prescription. I read them so I can see the bust before it knocks me over.
Okay, but you have a different kind of... You have always had glasses, whereas this is just like... Age,
menopausal
age,
thing, like me. Mine's +1.25.
I'm +2.
Are you?
Yeah.
Although I did put your glasses on yesterday in the back of the cab and suddenly the whole world...
opened up to you.
I could see.
Oh, God, no, they blind me.
I have to wear contacts.
otherwise my vision's not great. I've got
so you've always had that even as a youngster.
No, true story. I used to be a judge for Spectacle Wear, Specsaver Spectacle Wear of the Year when I was
the glamour never ends.
And I did it 2 years in a row. And at the end of each catwalk thing, they gave you a goodie bag. Thank you for being a judge. And I was on with like Andrew Barton and Jenny Faulkner and a few other people. Gok Wan was there, and there was a voucher to go and get your eyes tested. I'd never had my eyes tested. Went and they said, yeah, you need glasses. 2 years later.
They went, yes, so technically you never,
were you never able to read the bus?
Well, here's the thing. I can only assume that my brain had just allowed me to compute the world and assume, my brain had said, well, yeah, you can see. I'd never thought I That's can't see. Vision. I'd always like squinted, and I used to get on the tube at Monument, and the way you go into the platform's right at the very end, and then the display is right in the middle. And I used to not be able to read it. I'd just think, oh, the train will come along in a minute. Obviously, as soon as I started wearing glasses...
So you never checked with somebody, is this normal?
No, I just didn't realise. I could look at my computer. I was legal to drive, I hastened to add. But, I couldn't not wear my contacts or glasses.
So technically you were too blind to judge the Spectacle Saver of the Year Award.
Essentially, oh my God, I'm a fraud. Impossible. Someone find me out. Tap God. Me on the shoulder. Get me out of the room. How weird is that?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, I remember when I was younger, I used to suffer from excruciating period pains, and I used to go to the doctor and they used to go, well, how bad are they? And I went, I don't know, I've never had anybody else's periods. How do you judge something? Is your period light or heavy? How do you know?
It was at a very early age that you always had the comeback line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Even
if I kept it quiet.
Did you just say that took long enough?
Yeah.
Scousers.
Absolutely.
Saying nothing.
Even if I keep it quiet. I have permanent teeth marks on the end of my tongue.
How did you and when did you learn to quiet that?
Inappropriate.
And then
when did you learn
to unquiet it?
I think as you get older, your hormones change fundamentally, and you do, the testosterone begins to take over, and you just don't. I have a short shrift for idiots. I just can't do it anymore.
But you say that I've seen.
But I've always been Marmite. I think if you don't I always say to people when they ask my opinion, I say, you don't ask my opinion unless you want the truth.
Do you think you're Marmite? I've come to terms with the fact I'm Marmite.
I think everyone's Marmite, aren't they?
No, I think there are people that...
Marmite, or they're like a really healthy hazelnut butter and you don't even want to eat them.
Oh, I love that. I definitely don't want to be a hazelnut butter.
Cashew butter.
Yeah, I hate Marmite, you love it. But can I just say I'm very hungry? How much longer are we going to be doing this? Because I'm starving. I mean, can somebody...
I've got another 40 minutes.
I know, but can we get... Oh, Chloe's outside.
Go and get Chloe. Go and get Chloe to get you something to eat.
Carry on. Sorry about that, listeners. So, yeah.
We've temporarily lost Trini.
No, she's back in the room. But what I'm going to do is call her up. Does anyone want some food? There was a very nice little restaurant next door.
Sure.
Caroline turned it up with her sandwich.
Just a soup.
Next question.
She had a poo-poo. She had a panini. I was going to say punani. I didn't mean that. Absolutely
punani. She has got a punani, though.
It's like a punani is one.
And four gorgeous children that have come from it.
Little fanny.
Right. Well, I had some Oprah questions to ask you as we were strong women around a table. There's whispering. What's that about?
I had no idea that Caroline was as wavy as me. Caroline's hair is identical to mine.
It's blow dry day two, that's why.
But you're wavy or you're frizzy? Chloe, my darling, I'm really hungry. Could you get something for us to eat?
Right, so...
There's my money in
Can I say, this is the difference between...
But what would you like to eat?
I'm absolutely fine, my darling.
Sure?
No, she's already had her breakfast.
Is that place on the corner?
See, this is the difference. You know you're a success
toasty
when you have staff. I don't have staff. I have to go and get my own sandwiches.
A cup of English tea. Anyone else, tea or coffee? Cappuccino.
I'll have an oat milk latte.
And Emma Gunn is going to have an oat milk latte.
Gunn is going to become high maintenance in old age. I can tell you.
And I'll have a soya chai latte. Soya chai latte.
The thing I love most about this is Trini's doing it into the mic,
so that everybody can hear.
Soya tea, please, Chloe.
And also, sorry, Caroline's tea is a soya tea.
What are you grateful for? And we'll
darling,
start at
and
this
when
side
you
of the table.
So soya tea,
because Trini's busy.
Latte.
Are you somebody who expresses gratitude?
Yes,
some kind of
100%.
Also, what are you most grateful for?
Cappuccino or something.
I think it's really important. You remember when you did your 26 habits?
Okay.
I think when you did your 26 habits, I think it's really important, and this is something that is just...
That one, grateful, silent, please.
I don't think about... I don't read self-help books. This is just something that I know... If
question, because I don't think you're going to get it.
Right. What are you grateful for?
I think it's really important when you did your 26 habits, I think it's really important to compliment other people. Mm. And you said this to me. I will walk down the street, and if I see somebody wearing a nice outfit or with great hair, I will stop a stranger in the street and tell them they look fab.
I think she's having a stroke. She's like, lovely skirt. What?
And oh, I love that scarf.
Yeah.
But you can tell people go, thank you.
And I think it's really important. Sometimes they look at you like you're a freak. Yeah, but I think it's really important to tell people. And I used to do it when I was a boss, because I'd had bosses that had never complimented me, and it was their way of keeping me in my place. I think it was really important to tell people that they do a really good job. I think it's really important to tell people that they're talented, that to tell them if they're doing anything in a good way, even if you don't know them. I think it's really important. And the reason that that's important is because the thing I am most grateful in life is my father. And my father, who always had my back, who never told me I was smart or beautiful or clever or any of those things, but absolutely to my very core, I knew he had my back and he loved me more than anything else in the whole world. And everything I am, I owe to that man, because it's incredibly empowering. And he gave me the strongest roots in the world that will never, you can't break me because of that man. And yeah, saddest day of my life when he died. But yeah, absolutely so important to empower somebody, not by saying, darling, you're so clever, that's amazing. Don't ever tell somebody they're incredible when they're not. But when somebody does a really good job, they need to be told they've done a good job and that you value that. That's also, so important.
Also, as a boss, I always think if you... I mean, part of the reason I can't do the C word, which is corporate in my world.
We know you do the other C word.
I can't do the C word because, I'm sorry, you're not going to appraise me if you're 20 years younger than me and you got this job because your parents are wealthy. Get out my face. I used to sit there raging, like, oh, do me a favour, I just need to go. I've got the work ethic of a horse, and you, swanning at 11, don't you know? Yes. So, but
what are you grateful for?
Well, my big thing is, how can you possibly give constructive feedback to someone who works with you and say, this is where you could do this better, if you don't also say to them, that was bloody amazing, well done?
Yeah.
They're not going to listen to you. They're going to think all you do is your negative, and then eventually they won't take your negativity seriously. They won't take your constructive feedback that's perfectly valid seriously, because they never hear anything good from you. And I've worked for too many people in the corporate world who do exactly what you said, which is, we don't tell them that anything they do is good because, you know, everyone's replaceable and we don't want them to get a big head.
And that's the mentality within magazines, within TV, within a lot of companies. It just
is. Have you both answered the question, what are you grateful for?
I'm
grateful for my father, because he raised me with that mentality. My father worked in a factory. He was management within a factory, so he worked his way up. And every single holiday, I would go and work in the factory with him and do his sort of dirty work, or just go and work on the factory line. And I watched the way he managed people. And he would tell them if they were crap, but my God, he would tell you if you were good. And those people worshipped him because he empowered them, because he said to them, you're great at this, you need to work on this. And you're absolutely right. He was just a brilliant man manager, and he raised me the same way.
That is so weird. And this is going to have our Oprah epiphany moment, and this is why we're good mates, because both my parents did exactly the same for me. My work ethic comes from my parents, who worked themselves in the way that you used to. You just worked. You'd go to work, and if you were sick, you'd go to work. And if you had a family emergency, you'd go to work immediately, the day after. There was no, swanning around.
Both my parents worked in factories, and they both had an incredible work
ethic.
And
both my parents were really great people managers. And mum was working in managing restaurants in Mississippi in the 70s. You know, imagine the misogyny down there. But in the restaurant trade, and at that time, the majority of the front of house staff were a mixture of black and white, and the chefs were all black, because this is Mississippi. And every single member of staff loved her, and I picked up that my mum treated people differently than the norm in Mississippi in the 70s. And I very vividly remember, I never heard the N-word at home, but, you know, it was the height of it, you know. Never heard the N-word at home. Never was spoken about as being us and them or anything like that. And the respect that I saw them, they held my mum with and my dad with, and the work ethic that they had, is probably what I'm most grateful for. Because the same as Nadine, I always say to my kids, if it all goes to shit tomorrow, we'll just go to Nana's house.
You know? When I spoke at my father's funeral, which was one of the toughest things I had to do, was because nobody else would do him justice, basically because I worshipped the ground he walked on. And when I looked out and the funeral, the church was absolutely completely packed, everybody I'd worked with in the factory was there. And they all just came up to me and said, your dad was amazing and he was incredible, and he would be so proud of you, and he still would. And then when I tell people that, they always say, oh, it's so sad that you're without your father. And I said, I had him for 43 years, and every single day I am what he created.
I had different with my parents, because my dad worked really hard, and he'd sort of come from a very nondescript background, and my mum came from a very privileged background. and she didn't work. And she sort of supported my dad when he had his kind of up and down, because he was an entrepreneur. She was to be selling all jewellery.
So you get your entrepreneurship something. From your dad.
So my everything comes from my dad in that way. And he always was quite Machiavellian, and he did keep slightly secret lives. So he kept quite a few things secret from us. But my mum never worked. But my mum also, it wasn't like she was a never work, stay at home mum. She was a never work, but I went to boarding school from 6.5 to 16, and sometimes I spent the whole term in England and I didn't see them. So she wasn't that present, my mother.
So when
I was in my teens, I found it very difficult because I had not developed a relationship with my mother, really, and I didn't have a closeness with her. And I always felt my dad favoured my older sister. You know, I kind of always felt they had this special relationship, because I would always be a bit slightly sickly when I was younger, and I would ask to be excused from the table early, and my sister would sit there and chat to my dad, who would regale her with stories of his life. So she knew every element of my dad's life. And then when my dad was much older, he was, I went away with him because he had to go and have an operation. And I was with him for two, no, my mum's having an operation. I was with him for 2 days, just him and I. First time in 40 years, just him and I sitting there. And, you know, chatted, and he told me tons of stuff about his life. And I know that I definitely get that from my dad. So I'm very grateful I get that from my dad. He didn't once really say to me how proud he was of me. And I remember he died 2 years ago. And I found it tough with him at the end. And my mum, who's still alive, I have a, you know, I kind of will look after her, I'll take care of her. But I don't, to be really honest, I don't feel an intimacy with my mother. And so, therefore, as a parent, you really think, what am I going to be as a parent here? Because I've done the opposite.
You're Lila the exact opposite
is with, you know, a mum who works tremendously. She knows how much I work because she can see it because of, mm-hmm. so she understands that. And she sometimes knows to get my attention. She'll chat to me about things that are slightly, you know, I'm interested in when she feels she hasn't got my attention. And otherwise, as a teenager, it's always about her. But she'll have those moments of clarity where she thinks, let me just think of things. But so it's a really tricky one, because you think, what do I not want to inherit? What I don't want to inherit is from my mum of starting a little thing here or a little thing there, but never having a focus and direction. And would really, because my dad was up and down, would have, if she'd had the money and the ability, would have left my dad at some stage in that relationship, but didn't because of such circumstance. So it's kind of, they are both, one is still alive, amazing people, but they're not me. And I didn't really inherit that many things from my mum, and my dad, it's that drive. But
you certainly broke the chain, though, because I see you with your kids, and even your stepson, who you treat, I see, and I know boys and how they are, and he adores the ground you walk on. And I can, and Lila looks at you the way that you would want a daughter to look at you. So you've broken that mould. You're not that, you know, Lila 100% would never be able to say that about you.
So I'm grateful I've broken the mould. That's my gratitude, weirdly, then.
I'm also grateful that my mother is who my mother is, because I grew up wanting to be the exact opposite of my mother.
Did you?
Yeah. Who was a 1950s housewife who never couldn't balance a checkbook and didn't know how to survive when my father died. And her entire life was
him and everything.
Really, that's it, that real,
No, I got my sense of independence, as in I looked...
But you both got to the same place through totally opposite...
All three of us, to a degree, fundamentally different.
What about you with your parents?
With my parents, well, what am I grateful for?
Yeah, I mean, like, when we just sort of... You know, if you look at your mum and dad, what did you inherit from your mum, and what from your dad?
My dad is very... I always joke that he can't tell me off, because if ever he tells me off something, it's exactly something that he would do.
Okay, you're similar to
So I'm very, very similar to
him. Is that also because you're daddy's girl? Because Ava, Jim can't tell Ava off. She laughs.
I would say I'm a daddy's girl, yes, but also we clash.
Because you're so similar,
But they're both... I've learned so much from them. But the thing I was coming round to with the grateful thing is the thing I'm most grateful for with them and my brother is that I have a real safe place and a sanctuary with them. But the thing I am grateful for is that, so I've always had that, they're both still with us, my brother's around, and my relationship with them has got really strong in recent years for various reasons. But the thing I'm really grateful for, and it sounds really arrogant, but I am going to go there,
is me, because I didn't realise I had autonomy until 3 years ago when things got very, very dark, and I got very, 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 very close to giving up. Mm-hmm. But by giving up, I mean going back to my parents' house and becoming a nuisance and just saying, I can't work, I can't do this anymore, I'm useless, I'm a reject. It got very, very close, and I pulled it back and I turned it around. And so I have to be grateful for me. I always had their support, and I always had them in the background. That sounds really arrogant, doesn't it? You can call me a twat.
No, not
you're
at all.
Talking to
not
three older women who are going, go on, Em, go on, Em.
No, and for me, I'm very proud of the fact that I haven't taken a penny off my parents since I was 21, and going back home is unthinkable. Yeah. But that's because I was raised to stand on my own two feet.
Yeah.
Like, that's all my parents, not my mother so much, but all my father ever wanted me for me. Because my father didn't have sons, he essentially just channeled everything through him. So because he didn't have a son, he basically just raised me in a completely genderless way, or as much as he could, for a man that was raised in a workhouse in Hull and was orphaned at a really young age. And basically he was just, you can do whatever you want. Work really hard and you'll be fine. Don't be limited by anything. Don't be limited by your class. Never let anybody judge you by your class.
Never let anyone tell you you can't do something.
Never judge anybody by your gender. You can do it. You're amazing. You can do it.
I remember one thing, and I still to this day joke with my father about it, but at the time I felt very wounded by it. I wanted to do theatre studies at A-level. And let's face it, I could have won an Oscar by now.
You really could.
But he was insistent. He said, no, I pay your school fees. They work really hard to send me to private school.
But that's an Asian thing as well, isn't it?
Maybe, but then we've had this conversation.
Like, he'd love you to have been Asian. He'd love you to be a doctor or a dentist or a professor.
Is your dad Asian?
He's
Sri Lankan.
He's Sri Lankan, okay.
Hence the gorgeous surname.
I thought you were going to say hence the name.
Hence also the gorgeous looks as well, yeah.
But he said, no, I'm paying your school fees. You're going to do economics. And his reasoning was, because if you do economics, you will always have a career. You will always be able to make money, because that you will always be able to get a job. With theatre studies, I don't know what you would be able to do. But at the time, it felt like being throttled. It really did. It was like, but I wanted to be this person. And so for 2 years, I'd watch all these girls go off and do theatre studies and have all this amazing fun, and I failed at economics, obviously. And although I do, obviously, I was terrible at it. But
something stuck.
No, nothing stuck, Ginny. Right, what stuck was that my father wanted the best for me, and he wanted me to have a safety net.
And that comes with age, though. Looking back now, I realise that some of the things that I hated that my parents made decisions for me when you were younger, they always came from a place of love and wanting the best for me. But so, you know, there's a reason you end up doing what you do. And I think we all have a little bit of a performer deep down inside of us, don't we?
Yeah.
And that was fine, but my parents never encouraged that side. They never encouraged the creative side of me because in their world, creativity wouldn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So my father encouraged me to go to university, but if I'd have said I wanted to do theatre studies, it'd have been a bit,
But there are plenty of Hollywood actors who are on chat shows every week saying how their parents, even at the Oscar ceremonies, and funny enough, one of them, I think it was Riz Ahmed, his parents said, okay, but what about the accounting? Pinnacle of your career, you're at an award ceremony, you take your mum and she looks at you and goes, well, you didn't finish university.
But also I suspect we all have that moment. Like when I used to do This Morning every single week, I'd come off air and my father would have VHS'd it or, you know, taped it or whatever it was. And I've still got all the tapes with his handwritten notes on them all. I'll never get rid of them. But then I would come off and my mother would say, I've told you time and time again, Nadine, you really can't wear a strapless top. Okay, you're the tallest person in the studio and you look like you're naked. Yeah. Or are you going to get your roots done, Nadine?
So here's a funny story. I did QVC. Right, for All for Eve years ago, over 10 years ago, and I was a presenter and we did a TSV. And
that means today's
value.
And
we've all been there.
And you have to do like 6 or 7 shows in 24 hours and you basically live at the studio. And it was the Christmas, it was also the Christmas I broke my coccyx. The two are related. But it was 2010.
It was that really bad weather.
It was when we got snowed in at Christmas. Yeah. And QVC do a charity day, and they do a big charity day, and they make a big thing of it to make themselves look good, frankly, because it is past the posting date that makes Christmas. So they're not losing money. So basically, on like the 22nd or the 23rd, they do a huge charity thing, but your parcel is not going to get there before Christmas. And that's why they can do it, right? Because normally it would be a really quiet day. So we got snowed in. We got totally snowed in, and I said, we're backstage, and it was me, and it was Daniel Sandler.
I love Daniel.
Right? And Tom from Alpha H, brings out the Prosecco.
Oh, right? Naughty Tom.
And they QVC, when you audition for QVC, they tell you two things. They say don't lose weight and go on air as if you've had one or two drinks in a pub, just one or two. So you're a bit looser.
But this time you took it literally.
So that you're a bit looser, but you're not slurring, right? So I had maybe two drinks over the course of the 2 hour break between shows with Daniel and I think maybe Tom. Very giggly. So I went on, but I completely can hold it together and just da-da-da-da-da. And two things happened. One, Alison Young's mic backpack battery died, so she couldn't speak. Now, if you know QVC...
She speaks.
She speaks. Alison is the queen of beauty in QVC, and if she can't speak, everything goes to shit. Luckily, Caroline was hammered. So I just go into one, and I'm like, well, when I use this body, and if I can get my kids in the shower, do you know what I mean? Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We sold more than we'd ever sold.
Obviously.
Oh, that is me, sorry.
God, sorry, it hasn't put the...
No.
Go on.
We sold more than we ever sold. I came off, and you always have someone who's from the brand in the green room looking at the figures, mm-hmm. right? We came off, and they went, bloody hell, that was amazing. What happened to Alison? And I went, oh, God, her back... And in front of me, and this is how good I am on camera, right in front of me, I've got Alison Young's ass because the cameramen come out from behind. They're stripping her off to get the battery pack, which is under her dress on her mm-hmm. knickers. Change, and while they're changing it, I have to do what you're never allowed to do at QVC and look to camera.
Oh!
So I'm looking down the lens like Liz Earle always did in Lulu. You cannot tell Liz Earle and Lulu they can't look to camera, right? So I'm looking at the camera going, and when my son gets in the shower, you know, and I make like John the Baptist and get water on him and da-da-da-da-da. And they were like, you were talking to the camera and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. And then I came off, came into the green room.
Oh, this is, that's coffee.
Coffee coming in.
Look, it's yellow! Thanks! Came into the green room, everyone was like, you did amazing, well done. I said, oh my God. And the producer came over and said, thank you, Caroline, for carrying it, because Ali was livid, and then she saw you were doing your thing, it was fine. I called my mum and she went, you were drunk. And I was like, no. She went, you had pink cheeks and you wouldn't shut up and you were drunk.
And that's what you want from parents.
That's so
in the same way that you want from a boss. You want somebody to be honest with you. You want somebody to encourage you if you do a good job, but to call you out on your shit.
Yeah.
Don't you, right?
I've always said if I ever write a book, my dedication will be to my parents and it will be to my biggest fan and my harshest critic.
Yes. That's brilliant.
Because my mother thinks the sun shines out of my backside.
So does my mum.
She thinks that I'm wonderful.
But now so does my dad too, so I'm quite lucky.
But my dad does as well. He absolutely, I hope you do, he thinks I'm awesome. But he is not afraid to say...
Yeah, catch you out.
Yeah.
No, and also I absolutely think you just need to be treated... A good boss is the same as a good parent. Absolutely. It's about encouraging them. It's about criticising them if they do something wrong. Not falsely praising them for things that they do that are average, because you're just going to set them up for failure when they get older. And just, you know, being supportive. It's hugely, hugely important. Mm. And that's what I tried to do with my friends.
And you are, and I...
Yes, they're your surrogate kids.
We come back to it.
Because I don't have children, listeners.
We've said it earlier. You think you've said that you're Marmite. You are very strong. I wouldn't ask your opinion unless I wanted the truth.
Trini's eating really quietly.
It's doing very well. Sandwich. I can't tell you. It's ham and cheese on rye bread, and it's like... Oh. I didn't have breakfast, so I'm like... I didn't have breakfast, and I also had this man this morning called Victor.
Pardon?
Can I just say, Trini, if everything falls out of the stackable makeup mm-hmm. line industry,
yeah.
you do know that you could be a dominatrix or a sex worker, phone sex worker with that voice, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's a good one.
So sexy. You could two guns, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm too much of a prude. Mouth of a doctor.
No, I know.
Sort of a nun.
That's me.
Haven't I?
Me.
Yeah.
I'm a total prude.
You know that feeling when you wake up and you think, oh, let me try and consider the concept of exercise. So I had that because I did it like... I did it Pilates every day for about 7 years, and I did my neck in, had neck replacements, everything.
This is what
10 Pilates.
Me and my shoulder.
So that I then had 2 years off with painkillers and then back surgery. So then I started again, this is like 3 years ago, and I did little here and there, but nothing really. So I finally got to a rock bottom last week, and I have a friend of mine, Lila's best friend's mum, does... Tai Wu or Chai Tai or
Chai Latte.
Sim Sum or something, you know, like my Chai Latte, yeah.
Huawei.
Huawei, whatever. And so she was just, can I just say, my first cultivated younger friend, because she's 40-something.
Yeah.
So I said, I want to do this Mai Tai. Is it Mai Tai? Or is that a cocktail?
That's a cocktail.
Carry on.
But it's like Mai Tai. Sounds like Mai Tai. So anyway.
Muay Thai, it is. Is Thai boxing.
Yes,
Thai boxing.
But like a real, with a kind of
it's
attitude.
Hardcore.
So Victor came this morning, Spanish, gorgeous, really well-dressed. And he said, let me see if I'm prepared to take you on.
Let me see you.
So then I said, okay. So we sort of did.
Listen to that voice.
And then I kind of had to do things with boxing gloves and stuff. And I'd done boxing years ago. So I thought I was really showing off. And he went, you got a long way to go. And because I every 2 minutes, because I'm still smoking, every 2 minutes, I had to take a break. Because I haven't done cardio for about 19 years. Literally, I have not done cardio for 19 years.
I've never done cardio since school, Trini.
So Emma's not saying anything. She's a cardio queen, probably runs.
Yeah, she does.
I was on the treadmill the other day. Yeah, she
of course
FaceTimed
has
me.
Started
I answered I it, and she went, oh, fuck off, you fit bitch.
And that's the relationship Guns and I have.
So
I'll be that for you, Trini, don't worry. I'll abuse you over the phone.
I landed with Victor. As he looked me in the eye and he said, I said, I really want to do it. We have to at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
He said, I need you to commit to me. I said, I'm there. He said, 2 days a week, I need you to
How
commit.
How handsome is he?
Like, really handsome.
Who'd play him in a film?
Antonio Banderas, but he'd be better than Antonio Banderas.
What, young Antonio?
But when,
my house
very young Antonio Banderas.
When we did Temple Artis 10 years ago, when it first started, every guy that did Temple Artis was really hot. Otherwise, there's no way I'd have been flat on my back with my legs apart, unless they were. That's what you do. You're in stirrups, darling. There's no way I'd have done that without David Higgins or Luke Leisman.
This was why Temple Artis, which was started by this man, but what was very funny about Temple Artis is, you kind of, I was single at this stage. I think I was between, you know, relationships. And I was, there's this bit where you kind of have, you're on all fours and doing something.
Ooh.
And he came, you know, he'd come up and he'd kind
You've
of like,
done.
Adjust
stroke.
You. Yes.
Stroke. But he had to adjust my back and then stroke my back and leave. And I was thinking, did that happen or not? You know, did that happen or did I just imagine it? So then I was thinking, I'm special and different.
You know, that's how they made you feel.
So then I'm sitting in a room with a few women who happen to attend this class are all quite interesting different women. And I go, how is Dave with you? And they go, like two of them sometimes, he does this special thing with me. I go, oh yeah, is it this? We all were being...
Do you know what David's doing now? So David
doing
left
special
Temple.
Thing with somebody else.
No, he's doing special things with people like Gal Gadot and stuff like that. He basically trains people for supermodel, superhero movies. That's what he does.
Oh,
for
yeah,
living.
That's who I used.
Yeah, I think I need to meet him immediately.
No, he's very happily married with two children.
Anyway, I've committed with Victor.
Oh.
So I shook his hand.
WhatsApp group, we need to keep us posted and we want a picture.
I will,
tomorrow.
And I will actually send you a picture. No, it'll be Friday and I'll send you a picture. But
okay.
I literally crawled after half an hour of just doing three little repeat things. I crawled to this podcast. I did.
No wonder you're starving as well, my darling.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's
sorry.
Yes, no, Nadine's pointing at my question.
And now that Trini's bought wafers, I'm going to start eating caramel wafers.
No, I like it when it just organically goes off into these ridiculous Victor-based chats. This is just turning into ASMR. Everyone's just eating. It's fine.
Trini and I, sorry.
Okay, I'm
sorry.
That a lot.
Trini and I have been having the same discussion about we basically have been circling around each other, and I suspect we need to become really good friends because we've got so much in common. But our fitness journey is identical.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely identical.
Have you got a rotator cuff injury too?
No, neck.
I have C3.
And mine was C4, C5, and they collapsed.
So like that scene in Jaws where you just like got your neck out and your arm out.
My arm went completely numb for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Jaws.
Showing, yeah, that's what you just said. Keep up, darling. Eat your sandwich. You'll feel better in 5 minutes.
Right. Oh, you're treating me like I was a 3-year-old then, and I'm reacting like one.
You do that with your mouth closed. And I'm going to ask you, who do you admire most in life and why? I never buy tea from coffee shops because it is nuclear.
Oh, God, I can't just choose one person.
Well, I'm imagining Jane Fonda's in the mix at the moment.
In different fields. In different fields.
In different fields. In different fields. If I can choose four or five, let's do them. It would be somebody like... They would all be older women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Michelle Obama's younger than me, but it was somebody, it'd be somebody like Michelle Obama, Jane Fonda, Anita Roddick. It would be, they would all be really powerful, ballsy, outspoken women. There wouldn't be a man among them.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, I would have men.
Who are yours?
Okay.
And I love men.
Okay, I'm going to tap dance for a few more seconds while Caroline swallows.
No, and I absolutely adore men. I wouldn't want a life without men. Men are essential to my happiness. But I am, my heart and my soul is automatically attracted to women.
Yeah.
And powerful, outspoken women.
Brilliant interview I listened to the other day with Jamie Lee Curtis, and she was talking about the new Halloween movie as essentially a metaphor for the Me Too movement and women being sick of this shit, and Michael Myers being the embodiment of all of that. And she said, but men, I love men. I'm married to a great man. Jim Cameron wrote the role. I think it was in True Lies for her. She said, some of my best, greatest opportunities have come from men. I don't hate men. I just thought it was something I'd never heard anyone articulate it. That was brilliant. I will find that and send it to you.
Hmm. And what was your initial question?
Who do you admire most in life?
Ultimate people with work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely, 100%.
People with work ethic. I have no time for whingers, people who complain, unless you are literally, you know, someone who's in pain, don't get me wrong, or you have real suffering, I understand that. But I always find people who have real, genuine suffering, either physically or with their families, they moan the least. It tends to give you a resilience and you kind of get on with it, and you know.
We're such a pull your boots up and get on with life couple,
yeah,
aren't we?
We are. But in terms of sort of like, you know, famous people, I don't look up.
You can mention the O word, it's all right.
Yeah, no, I love Oprah because Oprah kind of was pivotal. She was the first person who had spoken on TV the way she spoke. That it was perfectly fine to say, I'm having a shit day. That it was perfectly fine to say, I want to kill myself, my son's died and I'm not going to make it through the week. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I was raped. Or, you know, she kind of brought that conversation into your living room. And I think there's a real danger of the younger generations don't get the difference she made.
Mm.
Certainly when I was raising my two boys, who are now 27 and 24, because she would have people on how to raise boys. You know, this whole, and I love men, and I always, you know, I kind of have to, I love women, and I love people in general. I think that's why I'm good in retail. I love people. I also detest some people, but most people, I think, and I swear most people are genuinely good.
What do you detest? What don't you like?
Whingers, thieves, arrogance.
Laziness.
Laziness, I bore.
Something
people who aren't loyal, backstabbers. You know, just the people. Most people don't like. You know, just around someone you think your karma is black. Get away from me. You know,
I learned a good term the other day.
Go on.
You know, we were always talking about narcissists because Jackie Ripley introduced me to a podcast about this amazing woman YouTube. That was talking about YouTube, about
Dr. Romani. She's amazing.
Who Emma's trying to get on. And I learned a new one the other day, malignant narcissist.
Mm.
So there's whole levels of narcissism. And that's what you're talking about, that malignant narcissist.
Mm. We've also coined feminist, talk about feminists who aren't very nice to women.
Oh, I hate that. People who pretend they love women and know that they talk about them all behind their back.
Well, it's not so much that they talk about behind their back, but it's their level of feminism is so strict that it's a you can't sit with me feminist movement.
Yes, yes.
You're not cool enough or smart enough and you don't have
like
a book deal.
I'm like, of course I like men. I'm married to one. I've got three sons. Mm. Don't try and get me to hate men. I'm trying to raise them, you know?
Raise good ones.
Yeah.
Trini, who do you admire most in life?
You didn't actually name names, Caroline, apart from O, the big O.
People with work ethic. I like that, though. It doesn't have to be a specific human being.
People who just want to get on and have a good life and, you know, who don't blame other people for their problems.
Mm.
I don't like people who just want to blame others for that and don't own their shit. Mm. Own your shit, have a work ethic. You know, shit happens to everyone. And I, you know, but you know, we're in 2018 and we live in a Twitter world. So I know that in saying that, I have to counteract it with, I'm not disregarding anyone who's been through real tragedy or drama or anything like that. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's the people who, everything is someone else's fault.
Mm.
Oh, just get over yourself.
It's heavy, that energy. That's what I think when you're around it.
Stop moaning, Jesus Christ. I mean, I'll walk away. I will literally just be like, oh, whatever. The energy drainers, energy vampires.
And I will say this,
Harry Potter Death Eaters.
Before I hit the rock bottom, I was a massive whinger because I didn't realise that I could fix it. So I would just talk about it a lot.
Mm.
And I would think, well, if I talk about it and if I get you to agree with me, then maybe it'll be better.
Mm.
And the jigsaw pieces hadn't
fitted. Misery loves company. Yeah. And I just think, you know, and also here's the big lesson. One of the people I admire who's men wise, and we have a Trini and I know, like, there's Gary Vee. Because what I love about him, he's very repetitive. So if you watch him on YouTube, he kind of repeats himself a lot. But the message gets through, because what he says a lot is, no one gives a shit, buddy. Mm. No one gives a shit. We've all got our own stuff going on. No one wants to sit next to you hearing about how your job sucks, how your parents sucked, how this sucked, you know. No one gives a shit. You have to sort yourself out.
Mm-hmm. That's what I don't get about a younger generation oversharing on Instagram. Because I totally understand, going harping back to your... that beautiful story you told about yesterday and what it meant to you, and sharing because you wanted to communicate, but it wasn't something you felt you did. I don't share a lot personally about my life. My social media is professional. It's not personal. If somebody died in my life, or if I lost a pet or anything, I wouldn't share it. Mm-hmm. And you, Caroline, are very similar to that. Mm-hmm. When we went up to Trini's pop-up, and Monty had gone missing, and you went, whatever you do, don't say anything. And I mentioned it to Trini, and Trini then mentioned it on air.
Where's your cat?
Is it all right? So, and I don't understand, because, and it's not that I don't want to share with my followers, because I quite often share on DM my life.
Why did that, in case somebody would see her cat?
Yeah, we totally get it.
No, you're absolutely right, but she'd had a million messages already. But what I don't understand is, I just don't think people care that much. And I don't want to bore them, because it's my shit, and I've got to deal with it, and I've got my close friends for that.
I think that there is... I wouldn't agree with that always, because I think sometimes by you sharing something allows somebody else to have a voice and share it.
Oh, 100%. But so I think that
there's two slightly different things, but it's like, you know... I don't know how much I share on... I share a lot
about... I don't think you share a lot.
I mean, I don't share what's going on. I hardly ever mention my partner. But when you were talking, and who do you most look up to? In it, I might have specific people, but I do most look up also to Charles. And that's because he... is at a very, you know, he's 20 years older than me, and I am doing now, as a business, at the stage of my business, what he was doing 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it means I don't get to be around so much, that our relationship is not in a place where I'm always home at 5, you know, it's kind of like I get up at 6 and I come back at 7:30. He understands more than anyone else what it takes to build a business. And so,
but also he challenges you, and I think Jim's
challenges
in that
me
way.
So much. And he'll challenge me on, you know, there's stuff which he'll know more about than I will ever know, and there's stuff where it's of an era that he's not interested to learn to know, you know, which is technical things on social media. So he couldn't grapple with stories and lies and whatever. Why, what are you doing? And he didn't get it. So he's like, I don't get it. So not interesting to me. But, you know, bring it back to the most basic things.
Investors.
Not even investors, because fundraising is something that's kind of my bag.
Mm.
But just like he'll say to me, like, I'm designing my stand at the moment and I've got tons of mini stacks, like, as things. And he goes, but where are the stacks? And I go, what do you mean? I said, I've got the pillars, I've got these things, but where are the stacks?
Where are the actual
You've got
products?
The individual product, where are the stacks?
Mm.
You know, do you not remember one thing? So he'd be really tough with me, and then I'll be like, you know, how could I be so goddamn stupid that in this whole stand, which I spent 2 months designing, suddenly, because I threw out something that could look like Charlotte Tilbury with the looks, because I happen to have done that 20 years before in a book, but I'm bringing this thing back of, you know, you do it by your... by a kind of look, and that's a stack. I then took out the stack.
Threw out the baby.
I threw out the baby. So then he was like, and so he
tough
will,
love
he
is
will
so
be
important,
very
though.
Tough with me.
Yeah.
And probably in a weird way, that's similar to how my father would have been with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only not because it's a father syndrome, it's purely because my dad and Charles probably are 10 years apart. So it's more similar. But I would really respect my dad's decision. And that element of respect is an interesting word, because respect can be, when it's a woman to a man, be deemed, but I just respect him. Like, I respect my 18-year-old irritating nephew, because he's, you know, got a voice, has a certain confidence, will always come up with an answer, is like a Duracell battery, and kind of can actually maybe teach me something.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be as arrogant to presume, which we might have been done 30 years ago, where we think an 18-year-old could never teach you anything. They've got to learn it. They've got to get the experience, you know. So
I feel bad when I hear women, you know, moaning about their partners on social media.
That's
to me, though, I would never. Jim would leave me in a heartbeat, and I would leave him. Yeah. Where's your respect if you're slagging off your partner on social media? Who does that? And I tell you, does it younger people? Younger people. You never see people our age.
Those millennials.
Yeah, like don't do it. Why would you? And also, why are you with someone you have no respect for? That tells me you have no respect for yourself.
My bugbear is. Young mums with two young children going on about how difficult parenting is.
Please don't talk to me about Nadine. You know it's my bugbear.
It's my bugbear massively. So they'll do that whole, oh God, I'm just absolutely exhausted. I've had to get the three kids to school today. I've got no sleep and I've got the day off and I must go into Waitrose or Zara. And I'm like, my mum used to drop us off at the corner of the road. We walked to school and then she went to work in a factory. Get over yourself.
No one.
And my mum never complained.
She never complained.
Yeah. You're so privileged. Also, I have friends that couldn't have children.
Just
take your head out of your ass for a second and realise what you're moaning about. You're in such a position of privilege.
I will complain about my kids in the way that...
In a very funny way.
In a way that is... very clear that I adore them, would die for them.
I call you Mama Bear.
But they irritate the shit out of me because we're human. I'm not going to do airs and graces. They can be annoying as
No, but you never complain about being a mum.
No, God no. It's my absolute dream. It's my life's privilege.
I don't know. Don't make her cry.
Throw the tea on her if need be. She can't cry, she's screaming.
To be fair, I was at a funeral 24 hours ago, so I'm very heightened emotions.
And I think all three of us, we just there's that sense of realising that you are in a position of privilege, so be careful about what you criticise or moan about in your life, because it's very much first world problems.
Can I be really bitchy for 2 seconds, because I know you're all going to laugh. My favourite is a 25-year-old who's been in a relationship for 6 months giving a relationship advice video on YouTube.
Come back to me after 25 years.
30 years next year. Come on, mate. Setting yourself up for 6 months later, it's our breakup video.
One of my friends was criticised by a pregnant female colleague, obviously female, for not using a...
Not necessarily, of course.
For not using a keep cup. And the response was, I'd have to use this twice a day for 94 years to create 100 grams of non-carbon dioxide. Your baby's going to have a carbon footprint of 9,500 tons.
So you lost me as a keep cup.
These cups you travel around with you in your bag and you give them to the person who's making your coffee so that you keep your own cup. You don't use plastic. See?
Okay, I got to go now. I seriously have. I have Erica Davis in my taxi in 3 minutes.
Cribbins.
Is she meeting you downstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, well, she'll come and say hello.
Oh, come and say hello. She used to be my do the fashion on The Sun.
Yes, I know
when
she
did. A column on The Sun.
Adored her. Adore her. She's fabulous.
She has an excellent Instagram feed.
She has a fantastic Instagram feed.
She's so stylish. It's really offensive.
I know, she's really...
Talk about somebody who editorialises her feed brilliantly, though.
But she's also a nice person. Mm. Thank God. You don't have to be a twat.
I know, she's so nice, and I love what she writes. Mm. She's great.
She's a brilliant writer.
She's really great.
Are we carrying on, or we're not?
Well, we've got the studio until 1.
Is it not 1?
Oh, we've got 3 minutes, then.
But I don't know if anyone's coming in immediately afterwards, so we can maybe...
Will you give Erica our love?
Yes, I will. So I'm going to leave and you're going to talk about me.
We are.
No,
we're going to
do a WhatsApp group and it's going to be called Victor.
Yes.
Victor. Hashtag Y. Victory.
Yes. Oh.
That's our WhatsApp journalist, group.
Okay. We're going to start
Victor.
One. Also, if we do talk about you behind your back before you turn up, you'll just be able to listen to the podcast, I mean.
Of course, darling.
Come on.
Yeah, but Victor's going to help me give birth to my baby.
Because you know I eat and it's like...
Oh, please. But I tell you what I do want.
She means a food baby, by the way.
A food baby, but, like, you know, that's why I shouldn't eat bread. It's birth to a baby. I mean, I know I'm skinny.
She's showing us her tummy now.
Because I came in and you were
growing
my
skin.
Abs, and then they just go. You know, I have one bit to eat. Anyway.
Do you take probiotics, Drinny?
So many. I take a rattling amount.
Of course you do, because of Shabir.
Yeah, I mean, I take about 38 vitamins a day. And a lot of people, I did do one or two on Instagram, taking them, people were just saying, literally, I can hear you rattle. That's how many a day.
Also, I just say, whatever you get your energy from, I want, because you just do have the physical energy of an 18-year-old.
Magnolia, flower, sage, cherry, probiotic, super digestive enzymes, magnolia, I've said that already,
skin-enhancing
properties, something, some green tea extract.
It's a lot of green tea, is it?
I think someone was just looking through the window, so when you pop out, we'll
I'm coming!
Are they calling you or are they calling us?
Oh, I don't know.
They might be calling us. Oh, I want to see who that silver jacket, that Baco foil jacket you was by. We need the
studio. Okay.
Where we're going.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Wrap.
All right.
Thank you, Trini. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Nadine. This has been the Emma Gunn Show.
We might have to do it again.
Yeah. We need a part two to this. We putting the world to rights for angry women.
Thanks, ladies.
That was fantastic. Oh. Superb. Come and say hello, Erica.
Oh, let's come say hello, Erica. I really like Erica.
Who is your jacket coat by the way?
Sorry.
Thank you. We're done.
Osman.
I'm going to.
Osman, is it?
All right.
Yeah.
And steal the car.
Thank you very much.
As ever, I'm just popping in before you go to say that if you have enjoyed this episode of the show, I would love to hear from you. Why not email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can send me a direct message on Instagram and Twitter where I'm at Emma Guns. This show was at your request. This was a show that listeners had asked me to create, and so here it is. So if you want me to get anyone else on the show, if there's anyone that hasn't been on the podcast so far that you would like me to go after and secure an interview with, or if there's someone who's been on that you would like me to have back on, please do let me know. If you ask for it to happen, it goes straight to the top of my to-do list, and I go hell for leather trying to make it happen. I promise you that. Thank you once again. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I, it was, you got gold. It's exactly what happens when the four of us get together. If you enjoyed this episode and feel so inclined, I'd be so delighted if you could hit that subscribe button, wherever it is that you stream and download this episode. And if you do have the function, if you can click those 5 stars and maybe even leave a couple of sentences about what you like, that would be so stupendous and would help a show like mine stand out on these massive podcasting platforms. Thank you once again for listening. I cannot wait to get your messages and to hear from you. And I will see you on the next one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.